Thank you so very much. We'll see you next time.
Oh, man. Oh, I love that track. This old bar from the Western Swing Authority. Hey, it's Steel City Music. It's Gunner. Thank you for listening to the show. If you got a request, steelcitymusic.ca, hit it up, and I'll play it on the radio show. In this hour, Brad Germain chatted with us in regards to the new Golden Feather that gets released November 27th. He's pretty 100% positive it's being released, so that's today, and you're going to hear all four songs that they did and who was a part of it and the whole bloody thing. And it's really good, really good EP that they're putting out, man. But taking us there, a new one from our good friend Heather Valley, who's always special to Steel City Music. She teamed up with Maddie Simpson and Justine Fisher on this track. They played with her and they've been doing some other recordings. And this is her new Americana style song, and it's beautiful. The last song, Wildflower, here on Steel City Music.
Rock. Joining me on the line right now is a man that I've admired for some time, but he knows it, so I might as well not get him all gushy on the phone and everything. The proprietor of Into the Abyss, and he's been in every band that I've ever liked in Hamilton, which is a lot of bands. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing sometimes, but Brad Germain. Hi, buddy.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
Good. Now that my recording software is working better, then I think we could do this interview.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's dig right in.
I'm so happy that you've found some time is weird in this COVID era of music and art and creatives and in business, the whole nine yards. But I was on Facebook. I was going through some messages from people and different stuff. And I stumbled across Golden Feather. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And it was like, oh, hey, it's got this nice country groove vibe to it. It's kind of a little bit of Grateful Dead, I guess, to an extent. Maybe some Fish. And I went and I started reading nothing. I'm going, Brad's doing something. I'm like, all right, this is cool. When did this all start, Golden Feather Project?
Well, it's kind of, we've ramping it up in the now, in the, like the last maybe 8 months to a year is when we really started to kind of ramp it up and get ourselves ready to move along with it. But, me and my friend Steve, his name is Steve Kiley. He plays drums in Monster Truck. And he's, you know, I've kind of known him from some other bands around town for a really long time. So long story short, like him and I have been developing a friendship over the past bunch of years. We just, we just both really like spending time together. Mm-hmm. My partner and his partner are also very close. So we spend a lot of time together. We vacation together. We spend a lot of time kind of out in the wilderness together. And music is always a pretty natural extension for both of us. So wherever we would go, we would always bring guitars and instruments. He's a writer, I'm a writer. We would both constantly be working on things. So we just started, we kind of casually started writing stuff together. He would come to my house one day a week and we would kind of just sit here and we would work on ideas and try to demo them and get them together. And it kind of just grew from there. It like organically grew to a place where we thought we had some songs that we were excited about and felt good about them. And then we were actually going to play a show on, I want to say it was March the 20th. I think we were going to play our first show at This Ain't Hollywood, was going to be our debut show. COVID happened.
So you had mostly all of this stuff written, and did you ever record it or just written at this point?
Mostly
by March 20th.
And like we were starting to get the demos together to a point where the songs were really starting to take shape. Once this worldwide pandemic hit, that was it. So yeah, we knew we had time, and we thought if there was a way that we could safely record these songs, that we should do it, because we don't know if we would be afforded this level of time to get to work on this project.
That's an interesting point that you brought up there. A lot of the people I've talked to during this pandemic have thought the same thing. It's like, well, I have the time now, but how do I record if I can't go into a studio, that sort of thing. So how did you guys end up recording the songs for Golden Feather?
Roman Marconi, who owns Halo Studios, he was preparing to open his new studio, but he hadn't opened it yet. So it was still closed. He had nobody in there. So we talked to him about the possibility of like, well, if the place isn't in operation and there's nobody coming in and out of the doors, like if we could come in there and take this proper precautions, and if nobody else is coming in or out, maybe we can make this happen. And I think he wanted to test his kind of setup for the things that he had in there and see if he was up and running, and, you know, a good way to test his board in the new room and see what things sounded like. So we took it as an opportunity for him to kind of get something started in his studio to see how it was working, and a chance for us to work these ideas. So yeah, I think it was mutually beneficial and was something that we all were excited about and felt like we wanted to do.
Well, it sounds like something good has come out of this this whole thing that you did with the Golden Feather. You know, Halo Recording, who moved last year from This Ain't Hollywood to start up their new studio at the other place. The studios always need a place. They always need some test bands, not to make like to see how things work and to know how their gear will work in a new setting and everything. Now, did Roman actually engineer and mix any of the songs, or was it just you and Steve sitting down?
Yeah, he engineered and mixed. Like, we engineered to get, so the three of us, he did most of the engineering and then basically all of the mixing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was very much like he plays piano on the record and plays some electric piano on it as well. So he was very much involved with the creation of this record.
Like the sea is filled with corals and the bars are filled with beer. My heart is filled with laughter, living happy as I can. 'Cause all of my life I've lived like the mountain man. Mountain man,
mentioned that it was like you and Steve built a camaraderie, hanging out together with each other's families, you know, going possibly, I'm just guessing, camping. You said going in the woods, so I figure you guys were going on excursions and everything and having music as a connection. Was it just the style of country, and was it a love of country music or roots rock, or how did you guys come to this medium of this thinking of minds about Golden Feather, what style of music would be?
Well, I think a lot of it comes to the fact that he did play a handful of Dinner Bell shows as the drummer in the group. So mm-hmm. he had played in that setting, and that's, you know, is pretty roots centered. And I think, and I think when he wanted to do this project, I think in his mind, he was writing in that world. I think, like, you know, Monster Truck is so different from this.
Oh, sure,
so it's,
yeah.
I think like maybe in his mind when he wanted to do his own thing independent of that group, it more trended towards the world that we created with Dinner Bells, which was very, which is very rootsy and very, jammy and improvisational and, dead friendly to an extent. And also I think, like me and Steve connected a lot over the Grateful Dead. We don't actually mostly camp together, but we have this, him and his partner have a piece of property that's been in their family for a long time in the Ottawa Valley.
Oh, so okay.
We go there together, and in that cabin is filled with hundreds and hundreds of Grateful Dead live shows on tape, on cassette. So we endlessly listen to live performances of the Dead, and that was a real connector for us. And I think we were both just like, well, you know, we love the Dead so much, and we're so influenced by this roots and country informed music that seems so natural for us, and it's a real extension of who we are. And, you know, we should start a project that reflects, you know, our love of this type of stuff. Like, you know, it's the type of songs that you can play with an acoustic guitar in a room, you know, like not something that you have to build up into this wild thing, you know, something that you can take down to the smallest level of connectivity and something you can build up as much as you want. So I think those were definite things that we thought about. And we like the idea of taking, you know, like one thing people will realize about these songs when they listen to them is there's none of these songs are under 6 minutes long. So all the songs are really long.
That was my next question. I was gonna ask you, okay, so having said that, what are we clocking in at, and what are we talking, 12 minute songs, 15 minute, 20 minute songs?
Well, I think most of the songs, the sweet spot that we've been finding are somewhere between 6 and 8 minutes. So all of the songs that we've recorded so far between 6 and 8. Mm-hmm. And then when we've been rehearsing them, we've had them get up to, so, you know, because we do also see ourselves as being a band that would approach the live setting in a different kind of way. So some of the rehearsal versions that we've been doing of these songs have been like 15 minutes, 18 minutes, mm-hmm. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So sometimes they will get a little sprawling. And I think that's, you know, that might not be for everybody, but it's something that we have always wanted to do. I love improvisation, and I love not knowing where you're going to end up. And it's so fun, and it's so, it's a really fun way to exist in the musical space. And, you know, I came more from, shorter songs that didn't allow, although like even way, way back when I was in like Index and stuff, when we would play live, some of those songs would be 15, 20 minutes long when we would get into some of these worlds. But, we wanted to be really mindful of making a group that allows us to be as free as we want.
It's not the best time to fall apart and give up on it.
have some other members in the band listed as well. You have Ronson Armstrong, Chris Wheeler, and Gareth Inkster. And I, you know, all of those people I enjoy. I did an interview with Gareth a couple months back. And
yeah, he's great.
It's just, you're just like, you know, almost to the point where you're kind of like, you know, you kind of bug me, you're that good, you know? You kind of get that little jealous thing when you're going, yeah, okay, whatever, guy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, and he's so humble and nice, and it's just like, yeah, it's all an act. We know.
But, yeah, you know. I love playing with him. He's such the musicality that he brings and his opinions and his tastes and his singing ability is so great.
Well, having said that, you know, you have all these great players and everything. And when we talk about Golden Feather, from just our discussion right now, it seems like it's almost built as far as a band that you would have to you would rather fully enjoy them live. You know, like this is like a live band. Do you know what I'm saying? Like some bands will put out albums and they'll be a group and you're like, okay, well, there's three songs I like, and then you go and you see them, and you're just like, okay. You know, play the three songs I like or the two songs I like. But whereas when you get into like people that listen to music that's 6 minutes long, 8 minutes long, 11 minutes long, you tend to be there more for the show itself, the vibe.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a real, you know, something that we're really bummed about, the fact that we can't take this out and be able to develop it in that way and develop it in front of an audience and share together, because I think that's really is the future of this group. Hopefully at some point when live music can return, that I think this is I think it's a bit of a two-headed thing. Like I think if you're making 6 or 7 minute long songs that you're recording, I think you just have to have enough faith in your ability to construct a song that you're not going to make it inaccessible even to people who may not like 6 or 7 minute long songs, right? So I think like we're still trying to make these songs keep everything in there that's useful and make sure that we're not just indulging ourselves without indulging the listener. So we're not necessarily trying to make sure that the listener is accounted for, but just making sure that we're not, that our ego isn't taking over any aspect of the arrangements of the songs. But I don't know, sometimes when you have, because Chris is a great guitar player and, you know, I feel like I'm getting a lot better at working inside this arena. And I feel like, you know, sometimes you kind of do want two guitar solos in a song, you know, like some of the, you know, like sometimes you do want to, if you got a good vibe or a good thing going, sometimes you want to go back to the well and you want to look around, you want to, exactly. With you.
said, here we are again.
Here we are again.
I've come so far again because I know on you I can depend. Thank you.
I'm sure, yeah, we're talking red zones, and everyone knows this is a pre-recorded interview, the whole nine yards, and with the timelines we really are in right now. But when you look at 2021 coming into the latter part of spring and summer, there will be events that are happening, and Golden Feather will be a part of some outdoor shows or some indoor shows where it's possible. So when you talk about the, when we're talking about these 6-8 minute songs, to me, it's like the listener or the people who are participating in the show can go with the 14 or 15 minute song, because I find that my personal belief is that when I go to enjoy music, I go to enjoy the band. I don't go to enjoy the radio edit version of a song anyway. It's just like, I find they don't give me enough. They don't give me enough of a chance to enjoy something. There's, I always find that the people are cutting things shorter and shorter, and like, oh, well, here's the chorus, get to the end, and this is your song for radio, or what we're going to put on Spotify for everyone. Whereas, you know, you can flesh out a song. I'm an adult. I enjoy this band. I'm pretty sure I'll buy it and enjoy it, whatever they put out. And it doesn't have to be in that 3-minute moment all the time for everyone.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with giving our potential audience and listeners, just giving people more credit.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, I was actually talking to somebody else about this morning, about how the current culture and our culture of rampant capitalism and consumerism is trying to put us all in a box of being these people who just want these tiny little tastes of candy and don't want to savor anything, don't want to look at the bigger meaning of things. I think like this culture at large thrives on, well, what they're trying to, how they're trying to, let's say, how marketing and media is trying to construct a culture, construct a framework on us, which makes us more susceptible to buying the things they need us to buy. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right.
Like, no, absolutely. But, yeah.
And I think there's a huge part of us, and I think it's in a reason why my record store is still open, why people go there, is because there's a lot of us that are just like, well, wait a second. Like, I don't want something that I'm going to like for 30 seconds, so I'm then forced to move on to the next thing that I then
consume that next thing that's only 30 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want a deeper relationship with art. I want a deeper relationship with feeling. I want a deeper relationship with love. All these things are so intrinsic to our nature, but if we allow ourselves to get swept up in the consumerist culture of today, it doesn't really reward those things, right? It doesn't lay those things out for you, because it's harder for them to constantly be able to make the same amounts of money and to market that, because you kind of get outside of their control. But I think there's so many people in this world, young people, older people, you know, people of all ages, of all races, all ethnicity, religion, people just want more from life than what this construct is showing us that we can have. So I think that's part of it. You have to trust the people listening to music and trust the listener and have faith in them to have an open enough mind to be like, okay, like I am going to listen to a song that's 10 minutes.
That's
like,
right. But you got to give them the chance to enjoy it. You just can't keep saying, here's 3 minutes. It's funny, you and I are talking right now and we sound like we're at a Frank Zappa lecture in 1974. Like, you know, the two of us are standing and listening to Zap and going, the guy's absolutely right. You know, it's so weird that I thought of that. It was just like, I'm listening to you talk and I'm going, yeah, I think Brad's been into the Frank Zappa this year. I think he's really getting into some Zappa. And I'm not even a huge Zappa fan, but it's actually painfully true what you were just saying. It's like, this is Frank Zappa, you know, philosophy here.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about Frank is like, I hate to admit it that I haven't found my way into his music fully, but as a conversationalist and as a philosopher, I find him fascinating. And I love, like, I can listen to his, I would prefer to listen to his interviews over his music, as much as that may suck for some people to hear.
For some people, I get it. I totally get all of that stuff, because when I was younger, everyone said, how come you're not, you're listening to Frank Zappa? I'm like, I don't know who he is. For God's sakes, I'm 12 years of age. I can't even figure out how to comb my hair. I'm so insecure. And you're telling me about this guy from the 70s who I can't relate to. Let me grow up a little bit, for God's sakes. Let me become a communist in my late 40s and 50s, and then I'll figure it all out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. give me some time. Hey, it's Steel City Music. It's Gunner. I'm chatting with Brad Germain. He is part of the new group Golden Feather, made up of Steve Kiley, Ronson Armstrong, Chris Wheeler, and Gareth Inkster. The new album is coming out, I believe. What were we looking at? November 27th as the date for Light on Water.
It's feeling like the 27th is going to happen. It's like, I think we're sometimes with some of those things, the issue is just like when they'll be available on all streaming platforms, right. And some of those get delayed a little bit. So, but yeah, I see no reason why the 27th isn't going to work.
Well, all the best to you. I hope you get it all done. Is it just going to be a release just on a digital platform for this time and then maybe some vinyl?
Well, I think what we're going to do on our Bandcamp, which is Golden Feather Band at mm-hmm. Bandcamp, I think what we're going to do is start a vinyl pre-order and see if there's enough interest in the project to warrant us doing a small press. So,
yeah, because it is costly.
Yeah. So, you know, I just say to your listeners, if you are listening to the Golden Feather stuff on the Steel City Music Program and you like what you hear and you want to support the band, please let us know. Please go to our Bandcamp page or
Charlie Fox. This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, online at 1015thehawk.ca.
Hey, my old pal, the Dill on the line with me right now. Kitty, you still there?
How you doing?
All right. Okay, so new album is out. Well, I guess it's really not a new. It's the B-sides releases off your last album. Why are you doing this now, sir?
Well, a bit of time ago, I made a 52-song record, and I wanted to make a best of on vinyl, and I did. It was called Greetings From. It came out 2018.
Yeah.
But there was still 40 songs left, because I'm just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I thought, why don't I just release a best of the rest and, call it a B-side album. And my brother Jackson, shout out to Jackson Hudecki, wherever you are out there.
Right.
He said, no one likes, a B-side record, the word that, or like, I was going to call it leftovers. He's like, no one's going to, people want new. And so I just said, why don't I call it like B-side, like instead of B-side, just make a little bit of a joke on that and
sure.
remix the songs, remaster them, add some new parts. So it was nice. I got to revisit them and add new sounds to them and polish them up. And so, they're coming out. Just on streaming services at the moment. I don't, I'm working on two other albums at the moment, so I don't really want to, blow the budget with those, where the other albums are going. So,
So you put 12 songs that you picked, and, do you have time to walk through some of them with me?
Yeah. Well, the first song is called Ashes.
Yeah.
And it's a song about my friend and local, famous architect, celebrity architect. He wouldn't like the sounds of that, but his name is David Premi, and he's done so many. I think he did some stuff at Mohawk College. He did the farmers market and the Central Library. That was all his firm. He's just a local boy. He grew up on Ockmar, right near the station, and just kind of a success story. He's just been doing so many different designs in town, and one day his wife called him and said that their house was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a scary phone call. He zoomed home, and by the time he got home, by the time the ashes hit the ground, is what I sing in the song, the house was in complete flames, in the Lock Street area, and the fire trucks were there, and luckily the family, it was just squirrels were bitten through the wiring. It was one of those kind of situations, and so the house burnt down, and a couple months later, after they kind of picked themselves off the floor, he designed a Frank Lloyd Wright style house, and with the insurance money, since he's an architect himself, he designed the whole thing with his firm. They all put in some time and built this beautiful house in its spot, and it was a great happy ending to the story of rebirth and starting over again. So, yeah, why don't we listen to Ashes?
Yeah.
By the time the ashes hit the ground, a crowd of people stood around. And no one made a sound. By the time the ashes hit the ground,